This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry extends a heartfelt welcome to each of our listeners. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on how to order copies of today's service will be given at the end of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday for worship with us.
Is Christianity divisive? We're going to talk about that in a sermon today. We ask you to stay tuned. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father, the eternal truths that we learn not only in our heads, but in our hearts, are extremely important to the believer. You have told us to be faithful to you until the end. And now, Father in heaven, we pray that as we live in a world that is continually asking us to compromise in order that there might be some unity, help us to understand that there are some truths that cannot be compromised, no matter how divisive they might be. That takes courage, Lord, and so we ask for strength that can come from your Holy Spirit alone, to walk as your faithful children in this world. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Truly I love thee, truly
friends in Christ, is Christianity divisive? It can be. That doesn't seem right, does it? We shy away from people who can cause dissension, and we admire the people who can unite a group of people. Well, then, what do we mean by saying, yes, Christianity can be divisive? Let's take a look at our text. Paul had established the church in Philippi. He brought to them the message of the gospel, that they were sinners, but God had come into this world in the person of Jesus Christ, and he had died on the cross as a payment for their sins. He then told them that if they would repent of their sins and trust Christ as their Savior, they would be forgiven. They would be restored into a relationship with God forever. Now, after Paul left Philippi, evidently a group of false teachers came in and began to cloud this clear presentation of the gospel, and sort of said to them that Paul had no right to be preaching. He really wasn't really an apostle at all. And that it was necessary for them, if they wanted to be saved, to eat certain foods, celebrate certain Jewish holidays, and observe the rite of circumcision. When Paul heard this, he became infuriated. And I like Paul because he is so human. And I think he got so excited that he finally wrote to the Philippians and told them what kind of people they were bringing them away from that one basic gospel. Listen, it is found in the third chapter of Paul's letter to the Philippians, beginning at verse 1. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same thing to you again. It is a safeguard for you. In other words, he says, rejoice in the Lord. It is in the Lord Jesus Christ that you have your salvation. It is in the Lord Jesus Christ that you have life abundant. It is in the Lord Jesus Christ that you have the promise of eternal life. Rejoice in that. Be happy. Realize what a gift God has truly given to you. But on the other hand, he said, there are people around here who are teaching you something else. And that's why I'm repetitious. I know I'm repetitious. Hear this, beginning with verse 2. Watch out for those dogs, those men who do evil, those mutilators of the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who worship by the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ Jesus and who put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reason for such confidence. In other words, they want to tell you that you have to come with your own good works. And Paul said, well, if it were works, I could be at the head of the line. Listen again. If anyone thinks he has reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. I was circumcised on the eighth day, not the seventh day, not the ninth day, but according to the law and a strict observance of it, the eighth day. Of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, one of the best tribes, a Hebrew of Hebrews, his father and mother were both Hebrews. In regard to the law, a Pharisee, a very conservative party. As for zeal persecuting the church, as for legalistic righteousness, I was faultless. So if you want to come with all of your credentials, believe me, I have it. But now look what I did with those credentials, Paul says to the Philippians. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of the knowing of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. In other words, That's what I'm repetitious about. That's what I want you to know, that your salvation is in Christ. And if there are those who say, oh, no, we got to get along, and we can believe in Jesus Christ, but we got to keep these old ceremonial laws, Paul said, no. There comes a time when we set that aside and find our salvation in Jesus Christ alone. At that point, friend, he was divisive. You see, what do you think was happening in that church in Philippi? Well, we can just imagine that there were congregations like we have. And here were families, maybe large families, and they were getting along so well, and then these people come back, these false teachers, and give them another story, and they begin to say, you know, maybe Paul is wrong. Our fathers and grandfathers obeyed that Jewish law. And it's a good thing that Paul came, but you put Christ on and in that whole formula of salvation, but don't forget the law. Don't forget it. Another family would have said, no, I can never go back to the law. Look at the freedom that I have received in Jesus Christ my Lord. I am not going back to the law. And so one says one thing and one says another thing, and here are families who are divided. Divided over what they believed was right. Paul says, stand on this truth alone that is in Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus alone, that there is salvation. The divisiveness that Jesus talked about when he was here on this earth was now being voiced by Paul. Jesus said, all men will hate you because of me, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. Well, what did Jesus teach? I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. You be strong in this, for therein I save you. There are other divisions in history regarding the Christian faith. I'm sure that Pontius Pilate was concerned about the divisiveness of the Christians who were there in his day. I don't think he was too threatened because there were not too many of them at that time. But he had his thoughts that maybe they could grow, and so the Roman Empire down there around Jerusalem could be plagued by these sectarian groups. And so he was willing finally to play good politics and to bring them to the place where Jesus could be nailed to the cross at Calvary. Nero, without a doubt, was concerned too as he sat there in Rome. And let's get rid of this Christian group. We don't want to be bothered by them. And so he slaughtered them, throwing their bodies into the pit and letting the wild animals malign them and kill them. Constantine wondered about it in the 4th century, and finally, history tells us that he became a Christian, and then there are different ideas as to why he did. Was it to join them and know what was going on, or was it right out of sincerity? It doesn't matter. We have this one point that throughout all of history, evangelical Christianity has been very divisive, no question about it. We prefer to be one happy family. We prefer to not have those very, very unsettling conversations where we disagree over our faith. No, we don't want that. And so if a person stands and says, well, you know, I don't want to be a sourpuss, if we could call it that, but I know you think that I'm opinionated, you think that I'm bullheaded, you think that I'm dogmatic, but I can only trust Jesus Christ. And when you take Christ out of the picture, or you say it's Christ plus something else that brings us into a relationship with God, the whole power of the Christian faith is gone. And others will reply back, it's your way or nothing else. And I don't believe that. I have some friends who are certainly not Christians in that sense of the word, but they're good moral people. I think they're going to heaven too. You can't say, well, just for the sake of unity around the coffee pot in some coffee shop that afternoon, yeah, maybe that's right. Maybe I'm wrong. No, it's there you say, as good as we are in certain cases. And there are many fine moralistic people. The only way to stand before God spotless and clean is in Jesus Christ alone. Well, if that happens in a conversation around the coffee pot with ladies or men, perhaps you will not be invited to the next meeting of that group. They go on to say, well, look at how we teach our children. Sometimes you say to them, you've got to give and you've got to take. Let's say a little brother and sister were hard at it over a toy and each one wanted the toy. What does a parent do? The parent says, look, you can't fight about this. We got to get along. Now you have it today and she'll have it tomorrow and so it'll go and so forth. A give and a take. And we want that to follow us as we become adults, giving and taking. And I believe with all my heart that that is what life is. It is made up of a lot of compromises if we want to get along at all. And many of the things that divide us are absolutely ridiculous. But when it comes to the basic of our Christian faith, there can be no compromising. This is what Jesus taught. He who stands firm to the end will be saved. Matthew 10:22. No give, no takes on the essentials. That was what the Word of God taught then, and it is what the Word of God proclaims today in its truth and its purity. How then shall we really get a grab on this so you understand what is being said here? Let's take some of the basics and then some of the discussion afterwards. Here's a basic. Jesus Christ is God and the only Savior of the world. On that, there can be no compromise. None whatsoever. We can agree with our friends who say, well, he's a good man. Yes, he is a good man. We can agree with them when they say he's a fine moral teacher. We say, yes, the very best. But when they're willing to say, now that has to end there, then we can get along with all other kind of religions who are willing to give Jesus these great bits of praise. There we have to say, no. For Jesus goes farther and says that I am God. I am alone am the Savior of the world. That's where it's divisive. Here's another one. The Bible teaches clearly that God created me in his image. And that means that I have a mind with which I can think, a will with which I can make a decision, and soul that is immortal, eternal. He made me in his image. Who created you? Did I come from a monkey? No, I was created in the image of God. Now, I don't know how God did that at the beginning. Nor is that necessary. It is a confession. I believe that God has created me and all that exists. That cannot be compromised. That's where we become divisive. Here's another one that a group of friends and I have been talking a lot about. They seem to have different interpretations of this than I've been raised with, but I'm learning from them. Jesus Christ is going to return to this earth. That's true. He's coming back. The church has said that from the beginning in their creeds, the return of Jesus Christ. When every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father, that's going to happen. How is it going to happen? I don't know. When is it going to happen? I don't know. And in our discussions on the how and the when, we can have a lot of give and take. But that Jesus Christ is going to return, That is an absolute according to the word of God. We are to stand firm on what he has taught us and what we believe. Now, in our standing firm and standing for our convictions, we must remember that it must be done in love. It is true that it was St. Paul who said, "Beware those dogs." But it is also St. Paul who wrote in that great 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, "Live in love." And love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrong. The same person who said, "Look out for the dogs," is the one under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit who said, "Make your position very clear, your confession one that nobody can question, but do it in love. And don't try to be demeaning. Don't try to say, well, this is the way that it is, and that's all there is to it. Don't turn your back on the person who disagrees with you and say, I'm not open for any more discussion. I'm sure that our Lord Jesus Christ would say, discuss with him or her to the very end. For through that discussion, the Holy Spirit can work faith in that person's heart. It's this: there are no give or takes on the essentials. But when you're speaking on these essentials, speak in love. Amen.
Oh.
Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are the one who can bring us peace, that you are the one who can give us the abundant life. But help us also to understand that to be faithful to you is not easy, for you have called for all of our allegiance. And you who have said, "He who is not with me is against me." Help us to understand, O God, that there are many things that we can give and take on, but not the basic truths of our Christian faith. Then, Lord Jesus, in your word, give us the strength to follow you carefully, even to the end. Be with those who are sick. May they sense your presence with them, and grant that through your church they may be ministered to with the means of grace. Hear us as together we pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. It is our prayer that the message and music in today's service have brightened your day and brought you comfort and peace. We pray that if our ministry meets your spiritual needs, you will consider a contribution to help pay for radio time. Your financial gifts enable us to buy radio time on 20 stations throughout the United States and internet access around the world. Many listeners depend on this program for their Sunday worship. Christian Crusaders publishes a quarterly newsletter called The Crusader. This publication contains a special article written by Reverend Larson, as well as other interesting information concerning Christian Crusaders. To receive this special mailing, simply call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. Cassette tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. A gift to help cover production and mailing costs is appreciated. Address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, call 277-0924. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, radio pastor of Christian Crusaders, now in its 71st year of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.